Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Now, 92.9 FM ESPN presents Memphis's biggest sports columnist.
You ain't got to do nothing, homeboy. You ain't writing nothing. No, you ain't. Ain't writing nothing. I ain't letting him write. He ain't getting no interview.
It's the award-winning Jeff Calkins from the Daily Memphian and the Jeff Calkins Show.
I don't get no interview.
On 92.9 FM ESPN. Today's special guest host, Jeffrey Wright.
Good morning, everybody. Happy Tuesday to you, wherever you may be. As the introduction suggests, my name is indeed Jeffrey Wright. You can follow me on Twitter at jwright929ESPN. Let's tell you what we got coming up on this jam-packed Tuesday edition of the Jeff Calkins Show. Gary Parrish is going to join us here in about 30 minutes or so. We're, of course, going to talk with Jeff Calkins, the man that lends his name to the program here momentarily. Chris Harrington's got a viewer's guide to the Memphis Grizzlies home schedule. It's up over at the Daily Memphian. We'll get into that with Chris and more. We'll get his thoughts on the schedule and much more when he joins us at 10 o'clock. Jess Benson is going to join us at 10:25. So got a jam-packed lineup. Really excited about today, but now no need to delay. Without further ado, let's welcome on the man that, of course, lends his name to this very program. He's the Daily Memphian's lead sports columnist. He's on Twitter at Jeff_Calkins. He loves him some James Taylor, and he joins us now. Jeff, good day, sir. How are you?
Well, you know, I have mixed feelings.
Why do you have mixed feelings, Jeff?
Because Chick-fil-A is adding a it's funny, I'm at UT Chattanooga. My kid is moving into UT Chattanooga, and there's a Chick-fil-A in the... You can use your whatever they call a mock box or something, right?
Yeah. Whatever your version of the student points are.
Yeah, and some kids like eat Chick-fil-A three times a day. I mean, it's just insanity. If you were a student and had a Chick-fil-A in your student union and had mock box to eat, how often would you eat a Chick-fil-A?
What's the rest of the food situation look like?
Oh, there's Panda Express. There's all kinds of fast food stuff, right? There's other fast food. There's a Witch or something like that there. Mm-hmm. And then there's also your, like, dining hall, right? There's, like, real food in the dining hall.
Yeah, real food's that's a liberal use of the term. Sodexo thanks you for their free marketing. I would say, realistically, every day. I mean, I guess you can't say Sunday.
You would eat Chick-fil-A every day, but Sunday you take it off out of respect.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. Or,
that's not even really out of respect for him. It's mainly just because their doors aren't open.
Exactly.
They're doing
it
exactly.
Or her, as
the bee.
As it may be.
Right.
As it may be.
Right.
The great one. So, this is all a little bit of a sidelight because the news is that Chick-fil-A is adding a menu item. Do you know this?
No, go on.
Okay, what now, since you don't know it, we'll turn it into a fun little game here on a Tuesday. What is the menu item that Chick-fil-A is adding? Pretty much everything I ask you ever, you in the guessing format, you nail. So I'm fully expecting you to tell me what this item is. What do they sell now? Now they sell fries, chicken sandwiches, chicken nuggets, milkshakes. Do they sell ice cream?
Yes, well, they have their version of, it's called an ice dream. It's somewhere between like frozen yogurt and soft serve ice cream.
Right, they have those lemonade things. Lemonade, those are good. The lemon plushy thing.
Well, spoiler alert, the ice cream's pretty good, too.
Okay. All right. But anyway, so they're adding something. If you need it, I'll be disappointed, but I'll tell you what the category is.
Okay. Is it a side?
It is absolutely a side. And I can even tell you more about the category if you need it. Or if you want to take a stab first, that would be fine, too.
Is it tater tots?
No, not tater tots. That would be, they would probably be the world's best, if intolerant, tater tots ever. They would be highly intolerant and inappropriate and judgmental tater tots.
Oh, I know this. My girlfriend she was discussing this with me last week. Now I'm recalling. It's mac and cheese.
It is indeed mac and cheese. How do you feel about mac and cheese? And I don't think I'll ever get it. You don't need sides at Chick-fil-A. You just get the chicken and the fries and be done. And the fries are okay and the chicken's delicious and that's it.
Yeah, you and I have talked about this. The most overrated menu item in the history of the world is their fries, but the most underrated menu is any type of chicken that they make. Like
underrated, it's properly rated. I mean, everyone extols it to no end. We went to a place here in Chattanooga called, I forgot what it's called. I don't know. But it's like their chicken place, right? It's their
version of Gus's or their version of McDougal's, right. Whatever.
And it's fine, but it wasn't great. And as we were walking back past the Chick-fil-A, I said, I just as soon have gone. I wouldn't have spent $23 for lunch. I would have spent, you know, for two of us, $14, and it would have been better. So, anyway, be that as it may, the news, of course, of the day is two bits of news. One is the Grizzlies' schedule. Did you have any issues with the Grizzlies' schedule?
No, I think we had this discussion, Giannotto and I, on our show. It's fascinating to me how the schedule, like, normally you kind of, like, look at road trips. Like, you're looking at the mechanics of the home schedule. This year you're just kind of seeing, all right, when do the Lakers come to town? Like, when does everyone come to town? Because it's kind of like back to the good old days, Jeff, of, like, when they first started. Because the wins and losses don't really matter. And, you know, the win total's 26.5. And the Grizzlies have the third hardest schedule, so you could conceivably say that the under is the better play. Like, so therefore you don't really, you're not like focusing.
You're exactly right. You're not saying, boy, they're going to have to get off to a good start and this
right.
is going to be a nice stretch and they're going to have to build up enough by the, boy, the end is going to be really tough.
Right.
So they're going to have to have a cushion to be, because the basis of that entire, they're going to have a cushion is, in order to make the playoffs, and we're conceding at the outset that this is not a playoff year, and so nothing matters. It matters when things fall, just in terms of consuming the games. It matters when Mike Conley, and by the way, Chris Harrington does a genius level piece on
the consumer's guide to the home schedule.
Exactly, and I presume it is up at the Daily Memphian, and Chris will be on with you to chat about it at 10 o'clock. So no one's going to want to miss that. But there's it's a totally different deal in the sense that it's not, we aren't looking at it competitively because we understand. I actually think I think there's a freedom in that. Like, I think there's a certain, if there were no hope for this team, in the sense of if they didn't have promising pieces for the future, then there wouldn't be freedom in that. If you just knew it was a crappy team, and if you were Charlotte, I mean, if you were Charlotte, for example, then there isn't freedom in that. Then there's just depression in that, because what the hell do you have? You don't have play. You know, you've got nothing to look forward to. But when you're a young team rebuilding, it's like Browns last year, right? It doesn't matter, and it doesn't matter in the best way possible. It doesn't matter because there are things that matter deeply. Ja Morant matters. Jaren Jackson Jr. matters. Like, those things matter. The coaching staff matters. How it all comes together. But the playoffs don't matter. We're not in this grim death struggle to get to the playoffs. They're not. And the other part of that is what's shocking to me is how little in this context, not shocking, but interesting, and is how little the Celtics pick comes up in any of this. I think people are just sort of at peace with that. It's not even, not only is there not this playoff goal, there's not this convey thing. We're not taught, I mean, the issue of conveyance is still there, right?
Oh, yeah.
They can still convey it this year. But I think we're kind of assuming that they likely won't. And then you'll just end up giving it to Boston next year. And whatever's fine. Either way is fine. Because as long as Ja and Jaren are great, who cares? So the whole thing is, it's a very different element to it. And then the only thing people, I don't think, complain about, but one of the interesting questions that is asked is, are you at all offended, or does it bother you that for the MLK game they had to give you Zion in order to justify putting that on TV on MLK? In other words, Gary was making the point that it's just too bad from a ticket sales perspective, because the MLK game is a ticket sell in and of itself, and Zion sells in and of himself. So does it bother you to have to combine them? Are you at all offended that they had to, or bothered that they had to give you Zion that day in order to make it worth putting on national TV?
No, not even slightly. I mean, if it draws more attention to the city, and Zion, I think, is that type of player, I do not have a problem with it.
None. It's also where the Grizzlies are right now. We understand that. Like, if Ja Morant turns out to be a star, then they'll be on TV a bunch the next year. You know, if this team turns into a dynamic, fast-paced, dunk-on-your-head playoff team, then it'll take care of itself. And if they don't, then it won't. Then there'll be other things to worry about. So it's not an issue at all for me. And then, of course, the second thing was that emerged yesterday was this Bahamas thing, and where Precious isn't going, and James Wiseman may not be playing. And that's clearly deflating. I mean, Jason and John was saying I shouldn't go, which is a little silly given that we've paid for our tickets.
That ship has sailed, young man.
He's just trying to keep me out of the Bahamas, obviously. So we will be going. But it is not the great lift the curtain on this incredible basketball team that we wanted it to be. With Precious, no big deal. It's just a visa issue, and I 100% believe it is. And so that's nothing to worry about over the long haul. The Wiseman thing is worrisome, though. It just is. When you dream that big, and I was talking with Gary about the David Vaughn thing. Now, I'm not saying this is David Vaughn-esque, because it doesn't appear to be a season-ending injury or anything. It's just, at this point, a management issue. But you know, the guy's got multiple MRIs, I think, and so whenever that's happening for the best player that you have had in a long time, and that will probably have for a long time, that's worrisome. Yes.
Yeah, I think especially anything like a shoulder, because to me, like, anything that's in that ligament, anything like in that kind of muscle territory, it just feels like.
We have so little on the
for sure. I'm just saying, though, if I hear a guy's nursing a shoulder, I don't exactly, you know what I mean? Like, I'd rather hear a guy's got a bone bruise. You know what I mean?
Right.
I'm speaking generically. I'm not speaking with any type of inside information on James Wiseman.
Would you rather hear that he's nursing a knee?
Ooh.
You'd rather hear the shoulder than the knee.
Yeah,
right?
I'd rather hear shoulder than knee. Obviously,
you'd rather hear hamstring. Hammies can linger.
Yeah, but still, like, I know with a hammy, if he sits it down, if he shuts it down for 6 to 8 weeks, he's going to be kind of okay. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah. And it's not. Yeah. I mean, it's funny. Tony Allen, I said hammy. But anyway, those are the big news things of yesterday. And yeah, the schedule. I mean, I'm not a big Chris is, again, the definitive schedule discussion will be with Chris Harrington at 10 o'clock, and no one should miss that. And then the Bahamas thing, I'm still getting on a plane at 7:30 tomorrow morning and flying to the Bahamas, and Drew Hill is still, for the Daily Memphian, getting on the plane right now and flying to the Bahamas, and so you can read about it in the Bahamas. And there you go. And we'll, if you want, we can pretend that James Wiseman's playing, so he's like, no one will know the difference, but it doesn't appear he is. The other news is tonight we will be able to watch Hard Knocks and to see if this is the end of the Hard Knocks franchise, because it will be exposed as a fraud. Your prediction?
I'm going to say it's not going to be exposed as a fraud, but it's going to be a massive letdown, and the entire time you're going to be sitting there going, well, the NFL just got their hands on this, or the Raiders got their hands on it. But I don't think it's going to be like the type of fraud where you're like, this is an injustice to television.
How much will they – well, if they don't go into it, if the helmet – okay, here's the question. Will the helmet thing come up?
I think it will. I think that's the type of situation that they'll go into. I do not think they're going to go into the discussions that are clearly happening behind closed doors, in which everyone's going, did we make a mistake? Like, what we was, did you know what I mean? Like, why did we, should we have not done this?
You won't hear players saying, is this dude crazy?
Correct. I don't think you'll see that.
There's two levels at which those discussions are happening. One is between management, well, did we make a mistake? And between the players, is this dude effing crazy? We won't see that. You don't believe. So then how will it play out?
I think they're going to acknowledge, okay, well, clearly he's not there. They're going to show the conversations. They're going to have those weird scenes where two guys are standing and talking to each other and the camera crew is somewhere like 70 yards away. And then they have to put the subtitles up to tell you what the guys are saying. And they're going to show the conversations about him not being there. And they're going to show what the players are saying along those lines. But I don't think you're going to see like the, can you really believe that he's going to hold out and not play because of a helmet? Like, you're going to hear a lot of like, yeah, man, I don't like the new helmets either. Like, so, like, I think they're gonna paint it in that light.
The news, of course, is he is now returning, which is, so he's not that crazy. We know, there's a line here. We know he's crazy enough to pitch a fit over the helmet. However, he's sane enough to not walk away from $40 million, I think the number is, over a helmet. Is there anything in your life that is 10 years old, that you use regularly, that you would fight to the death if you are, or even forget the fight to the death part. Is there anything in your life that is 10 years old, because this his helmet's 12 years old that he wants to keep using, that you use regularly?
No, because I generally abide by the principle, newer is always better. And because, like, I was thinking about this, like, I hated the type of helmet, like, so when these new generation helmets, they started popping up like when I was a junior and senior, and I always coveted thy neighbor who had the new helmet because they were so much more comfortable. Like, yeah, they definitely didn't like have as cool of a look because they were still like early in their infancy, and so it turns out oftentimes a safer helmet may not be the best, like the most aesthetically pleasing or look the coolest. So I'd kind of like covet them just because of how comfortable they were and how uncomfortable.
Did you always have the newest phone? Do you always have the newest everything?
For a while I was, but now I'm the guy that just whenever my upgrades, there was still a point in time in which you thought the new iPhone was kind of an upgrade. And then you reach this point around like 5 or 6 where you realize like, you know, as big of a leap as the flip phone was to the iPhone, there hasn't been a ton of innovation. Like, the screen's a little bigger, the battery lasts a little longer, there's a little more memory. And so,
you are not the newest has to be better in the iPhone thing.
I mean, I would, if money were no object, I probably would. And this is kind of a nice little case study. I found that I always wanted the new phone when mom and dad were paying for it, but now that you're
that's hilarious.
Yeah, now that you're Julie's paying for it, I apparently could do without.
I don't know that I have much that's obviously my car is more than 10 years old, but I haven't had it for more than 10 years, so I don't think that counts. My car is a 98, so that's clearly more than 10 years old. I don't think, you know, now that I shop at O'Call, I see I don't need 10-year-old clothes anymore. So I don't think I have any 10-year-old clothes. I guess some of my, you know what? Like some of my furniture, maybe my couch.
Yeah, but are you that attached to it? Like, for instance, there's a difference between.
I've moved this out of the, this isn't a category of, we're going to move it away from fiercely attached to it. Just things you use every day that are 10 years old or longer. My couch is more than 10 years old. That is definitely true. And I've got some pots and pans that are more than 10 years old. That's definitely true. And that's probably it. And my car, but it's not I haven't had it for 10 years. Other things I want to hit on real quick before I disappear. Mm-hmm. Dak wants $40 million a year. That's where the Dak wants $40 million a year. Who's crazier, Antonio or Dak?
I mean, you have to say Antonio because in the end, Dak is in a contract negotiation, but Dak's still showing up to practice. Like, you know what I mean? Like, he's playing.
It's the idea that you would pay Dak. It's a really awful situation you're in, you know, because if you don't pay the quarterback, they go away and you can be where the Dolphins are or the Bills have been. I mean, he is better than that. If you don't pay him, you're screwed. And if you do pay him $40 million a year, you're screwed.
I mean, I guess this is the question, though. Can Dak be the new Kirk Cousins in that, okay, well, you want $40 million. We're not going to ruin our entire salary cap for that. So we're going to franchise him twice.
Right.
And so if you're Dak, like, to me, that's the – right. If you're Dak, that's the risk you're taking is that, okay, if they are – it's tough when you hear these reports. Like, they offered him $30 million a year. It's like, okay, well, we don't know what the guaranteed money was. We don't know what the cap hit. Like, it could have on paper read as a $30 million a year contract. But we don't know what the guaranteed money is, and that's what matters. So, like, it's tough for me to say whether or not he was stupid for that because they could have easily – I've noticed oftentimes with Cowboys, whenever there's leaks about, well, you know, so-and-so – we offered so-and-so X amount of players, it's usually coming straight from a Jones's mouth. And so it's tough for me to sit there and, like, view that as the gospel, if you will. But – if you're Dak, you're risking long-term guaranteed money for the possibility of being treated like Kirk Cousins. And I think Dak's a better Kirk Cousins. Like, I'd rather have Dak than Cousins, but I do think there's similarities and that they're kind of in that same tier.
All right. New topic, swatting. Do you know what swatting is?
I have no earthly idea. What is swatting?
Okay, I'll use it in a sentence.
Okay.
The kid who won millions of dollars recently playing Fortnite.
Yeah, yeah, the world champ or whatever.
World Fortnite champ. He was swatted over the weekend. He was playing Fortnite, and all of a sudden he disappeared. He said, oh, my gosh, I'm being swatted. Do you now know what swatting is?
I still, in that context, I still have no earthly idea.
It's when someone calls in a complaint about you,
okay,
a false accusation, such that it brings the SWAT team, and it's an actual thing.
Are you serious?
It's happened enough that it is a thing. So someone called in a complaint about him that he had murdered his mother or father and had the other one tied up, and whatever. So the next thing you know, the damn SWAT team comes in, and typically people SWAT if they lose to you in a video game.
Yeah, I figured that's what it had to be. Like, he's the – so South Park's always ahead of their time. They did an episode similar to this, like, 15 years ago, in which there's a guy playing the World of Warcraft that's so good that, like, they do anything possible to try to just get him out of the game. So that kind of makes sense. Like, I can't beat you, so – because I can't beat you.
So I'm going to tell the – I'm going to bring the SWAT team down on
that seems like the next logical step.
I mean, it's got its own word. That's ridiculous. It's like,
The fact that it's so common that it now has a verb to go with it,
right.
That shows, like, this isn't a one-time thing. Like, this happens.
Yeah, no, it's crazy. It's insane. Okay, a couple other real quick ones. Tate Martell transferred from Ohio State to Miami to be the number one quarterback and is the number two quarterback. And people are reveling in this because I gather he's been boasting. He's an arrogant fellow who boasts about his ability.
Mm-hmm.
Is this true? Is this a Schadenfreude? Schadenfreude, I think is the word, that he is now number two. Are we supposed to revel in the fact? Do we dislike? I'll tell you, I do not personally dislike Tate Martell. Should I? Should I take joy in the fact that he is not able to win this job?
He is certainly not lacking in confidence, but again, I've never met a quarterback that's been this highly recruited that is.
Yeah.
I think what most people are reveling in, and I don't, you know me, I'm pro player. I think a lot of people, particularly college football fans, they're very sick of, if I can't win the job, I'm transferring. But as you and I have pointed out, if you're a quarterback, it's not like if you don't win the job or if you get beat out at receiver. Okay, well, there's four other receiver positions, and receivers rotate very regularly. Like, you're still going to touch the field. I think people are kind of the backlash to dissatisfaction, perhaps, with the ever-so-popular transfer portal. I would be lying if I said I didn't love the idea that I can't win the job, so I'm transferring, and then you get beat out again. Like, this just feels like he's Lane Kiffin's next quarterback.
Yeah, we'll see. And then Lenny Dykstra is fighting the bagel guy. The short bagel guy who had the fit, that guy.
Oh, yeah. The guy that needed therapy rather than a date.
Right. So would you pay a nickel to watch Lenny Dykstra fight the bagel guy?
Nah, Lenny Dykstra falls into that category of such a despicable human being. Like, I'm not interested in him. Like, there was a while that it was kind of like, oh, what's he going to do next? And then you just realize, like, oh, this guy's just...
No, he's become a boring sideshow.
Yes.
At some point, when he first realized that he was crazy, he was kind of interesting, right?
Yeah.
Like, it was, oh, my gosh, it turns out this guy that we rooted for and thought was scrappy all these years...
Nails is
kind of a whack job. And you noticed it. And then after a while, the whack jobness gets totally boring. And I'm with you completely. Well, all right. I look forward to hearing Chris. I'll see if I can tune in during my sessions here at UT Chattanooga. And then I'm heading back to Memphis. And then I'm heading off to the Bahamas. And you're doing yeoman's work. I will talk to you again shortly. And thanks for doing the rest of the show.
All right. Safe travels, Jeff.
See you, man. Bye.
Jeff Calkins. When we come back, Gary Parrish is going to join the program as he does each and every Tuesday. Stick around. You listen to the Jeff Calkins Show right here on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Get more 92.9. Download the radio.com app now and make sure your favorite 92.9 FM ESPN Memphis.
As a small business owner, when was the last time you considered switching internet providers?
I don't even remember. Running a business keeps me pretty busy.
Let's compare your current provider to Comcast Business. Are you getting fast, reliable internet?
Sometimes.
How about a full suite of innovative services like separate Wi-Fi networks, 4G wireless backup, and advanced voice solutions?
I highly doubt it.
Sounds like Comcast Business could give you more. Make the switch to the nation's largest gig speed network now and get an amazing deal. Right now, get fast 75 megabit internet for $49.95 per month for 2 years when you add two voice mobility lines and sign up for paperless billing and auto pay. Call 1-800-501-6000 today. Comcast Business. Beyond fast.
Monthly service charge increases by $10 without paperless billing and auto pay. Offer ends 8/21/19. Restrictions apply. New business customers only. 2-year agreement required. Early termination fee applies. Equipment taxes and fees extra subject to change. Backup limited to up to 8 hours.
Hey, babe, you know that skateboard?
Oh, no. How bad?
A sprain, maybe a break. We're headed to the...
No, not the ER. Go to Campbell Clinic after hours in Germantown or South Haven.
We don't have an appointment.
You don't need one. With Campbell Clinic after hours, you can walk in, get treated, and get home.
Okay, we're headed there now.
Campbell Clinic Orthopedics, the official sports medicine provider for the Grizzlies, Redbirds, and Tigers.
If you're a serious tool guy looking for serious power tools from the best brands, you need to get to We Sell Tools. No wannabe power tools. Real power tools like Milwaukee and DeWalt. With hardcore power and durability so you can get the job done easier and faster. We sell tools. Real tools for real guys. You can find us at the northeast corner of Kirby Whitten Road and Summer Avenue. We sell tools.
This is Gary Parrish. The Bluff Restaurant and Sports Bar is a great place right next to the University of Memphis campus on the Highland Strip. And if you have an event, a birthday party, a wedding party, a graduation party, any kind of party, book some space at the Bluff. You can rent out any part of the Bluff, the front to the back to the mezzanine, and the place is big enough to accommodate 600 people. They can cater the event for you, or you can provide your own catering, terrific rates, and you can trust that someone on staff is going to be on site to make sure your event is perfect. TheBluffMemphis.com and click the Host Your Event tab to get it booked today. TheBluffMemphis.com.
Hi, I'm Archie, the service tech at Pet Boys. You know, even though the days are starting to get shorter, your list of stops grows longer. School, work, sports, fall outings. Now's the perfect time to have a Pet Boys ASC certified tech inspect your brake system for all the important stops ahead.
Now at Pep Boys, save up to $120 on a Wagner Premium Brake Service that includes a lifetime part replacement warranty. Schedule your appointment at PepBoys.com now through August 31st. Up to $60 per axle after mail-in rebate. See restrictions at PepBoys.com.
So visit your local Pep Boys service and tire center today.
Welcome to Office Depot. How can I help you?
We're getting her organized for back to school.
Yep, got my green notebook and folder for chemistry.
I mean, science is always green because, of course.
Right, because math always has red notebooks.
Right, because blue notebooks are for English.
And yellow are for social studies.
And purple is for music.
And are we twins?
No.
Get everything on their list from the advisors at Office Depot Office Max. This week's doorbuster, 1-inch binders for $1. $1 in-store or online at officedepot.com. Limit 10.
At Charmin, we heard you shouldn't talk about going to the bathroom in public, so we decided to sing about it.
Charmin booty smile. I got a Charmin booty smile. My ultra-star. I got a Charmin booty smile.
By the near to ear, the CP's magnifique. Charmin ultra-soft, so cozy. I'm grinning cheek to cheek.
Woo! Charmin, booty smile.
Charmin Ultra Soft is softer than ever. Enjoy the go with Charmin.
Car accident? Dial #529 on your cell. #law. That's all.
Get more 92.9. Download the radio.com app now and make sure your favorite 92.9 FM ESPN Memphis. Broadcasting live from the Triumph Bank Studios, invested in our communities, making banking easy for you. Let's talk growth. Triumph Bank. It's the Jeff Calkins Show on 92.9 FM ESPN. Today's special guest host, Jeffrey Wright.
Gary Parrish is an Emmy Award winning TV personality. He's a rising star in the field of meteorology. He is, of course, a columnist for CBS Sports. He is the host of the Gary Parrish Show weekdays 4 to 6 p.m. right here on 92.9 FM ESPN. And, Gary, I guess let's start here. How much panic should there be with James Wiseman's shoulder?
I don't think panic is the right word. Like, if we get a month out from the season and he's still riding a stationary bike every time somebody's inside the practice facility, that's obviously concerning. But until I hear that they're super-duper concerned, I don't think I'll be super-duper concerned. But obviously, it's less than ideal. When you talk to not just the Memphis staff, but any staff that takes a preseason trip, whether it's to the Bahamas or Canada or Spain or Italy or wherever, they will tell you that in addition to team bonding and all of that cliched stuff, the practices are hugely beneficial, particularly for freshmen. And James is not, you know, he didn't really get to deal with that, obviously, because of this. Or at least he didn't maximize the practice time that was allowed for him. Now his opportunity to play with his teammates in not real games, but, you know, five-on-five situations against strangers, that's not, you know, at least that's in jeopardy as well. And so not in a state of panic, but certainly you'd prefer everything be A-OK, and it's not.
I kind of thought yesterday's theme when we got the news with Precious Achiuwa and the perhaps the complications with the visa and then James Wiseman with the being cautious on the shoulder, I felt like kind of the theme was they're disappointing. It's disappointing news, but to me, the decisions that the team and Penny and the school made were all prudent. Do you feel like that's a fair assessment of kind of what we heard yesterday?
Yeah, I mean, you want everybody to be on this trip and be healthy and be ready to go. With Precious, you know, I'll take the university at its word. It's a visa issue. That is nothing, you know, my understanding is it's nobody's fault. It's just a thing. And then with Wiseman, you know, I do think, you know, if you wanted to, I don't know, be critical from a media or a fan perspective, they've been intentionally vague about it. You know, they haven't been upfront. They haven't answered questions with any sort of specific answers. And that maybe raises an eyebrow. Like, you know, last week, you know, Penny was in front of assembled media and asked an array of questions. And as we've learned for more than a year now, he answers basically anything as candidly and honestly as you would hope a coach would answer. And whether it's about Rick Barnes or about Kevin Davenport, he has no problem, you know, talking openly, telling you what he actually feels or thinks about basically any issue. And yet he was asked about, you know, injuries, the health of the team, and what we know is the best player on the team, the most heralded prospect to enroll at that school in many, many years, is not okay. And he didn't say that. He didn't get into it. And they still, to this moment, I don't think, have put any on the record, even, you know, basic diagnosis, made that available. So, you know, that's not unique to Memphis. You know, at Duke, when Zion Williamson injured his knee, they were, you know, listing him day to day for, I think, 2 weeks. You know, they weren't as open and as upfront as they could have been about that situation. So, again, it's not unique to Memphis. This is often how schools handle injury situations. But clearly it's a concern when 2 days before the first preseason exhibition, it is already being reported by local media that James Wiseman is unlikely to play.
We're talking, of course, with Gary Parrish of The Gary Parrish Show and CBS Sports. I wanted to ask you this. So, to me, it almost feels like with this type of news, it's disappointing, obviously. But at the same time, this is summer-type news that wouldn't really be an issue if everyone wasn't excited and gung-ho and wanting to see this team and just see what they look like on the floor. This trip could have easily have been taken last year to Montreal and, you know, perhaps we don't even know, you know, we for sure wouldn't know anything about Precious Achiuwa because of that being a logistical issue. But guys are kind of hobbled in the summer all the time. Like, is this a type of situation perhaps where this team's kind of a victim of the excitement and the anticipation of them?
Well, I don't know about a victim, but you're exactly right that if not for this trip, you know, none of this would be even a topic of conversation. As long as you keep your practices closed and your coaching staff and managers and players, tight-lipped, the fact that James Wiseman isn't healthy enough to play basketball right now would probably not be known. The only reason it is known now is because he's supposed to theoretically play in a game tomorrow, and it appears that he's not going to. And so, yeah, if not for this trip, you know, a lot of this, you know, we would just be talking about the Grizzlies schedule and Antonio Brown and, you know, whatever else comes up. But, you know, when you are a preseason top 10 team with the number one recruiting class in America and the number one recruit in that class in the country isn't okay, I think given recent history in college basketball, it becomes a little bit of a story. Recent history being, you know, 2 years ago, arguably the best prospect in the country was a young man named Michael Porter Jr.
Yeah.
He got hurt and barely played at Missouri. Last year, you had Bol Bol at Oregon, five-star prospect, got hurt, didn't finish the season. Darius Garland, five-star prospect at Vanderbilt, got hurt, didn't finish the season. You know, what we have learned is that these elite-level prospects, and with Porter, he was actually injured, could not have come back at 100%, did come back and try to play in the NCAA tournament, but wasn't anywhere close to the same player. But Bol Bol and Darius Garland basically decided to just shut it down. You know, they were like, we're not going to risk anything. And it might have been a mistake for Bol Bol because he slid drastically in that draft, although I think that's got more to do with his size and limitations when it comes to guarding in space with the way basketball is played these days. I think it had more to do with that than him shutting it down. With Garland, you could argue he benefited from shutting it down.
Sure.
You know, he was still I think he went higher in the draft after barely playing in college than most people projected him to go before he ever enrolled at Vanderbilt. And so I'm not suggesting James Wiseman is going to, you know, not play at Memphis, or either because of injury or because he chooses not to. But if you're looking for a reason for Memphis fans to be concerned, there is a track record recently of five-star prospects, one-and-done guys, not being available to the extent that you had hoped. And there's also, last year, two five-star prospects got hurt early in the season and theoretically could have rehabbed like crazy and tried to come back before the season was over. And they just decided, I think probably wisely, it's not worth it. You know, we've taken one injury. We're not going to take another one while we're still an amateur athlete when millions of dollars are just a few months away. And so, again, I don't predict any of that for James Wiseman, but it's got to be something that's in the back of somebody's mind somewhere.
Why do you think a guy like Garland, who's a point guard who has tremendous athleticism, he suffers a knee injury, and I know ACL injuries are no longer the end of the world, but why do you think he got the benefit of the doubt of having an injury at that young age and still, you know, went about as high as possible in the draft, whereas other guys don't? It's almost like the injuries get used against him, but for whatever reason, why do you think that is with Garland?
Well, his wasn't an ACL. It was a less serious knee injury, yeah. Although even ACLs are not considered draft, you know, changing situations for you. Like, the worst-case scenario, reasonably speaking, for Zion Williamson last season when his shoe exploded, was that he would have suffered a torn ACL. And you saw all these people go on television the next day or the next week as soon as they could, and they're screaming, what if this would have been a torn ACL? Then what would this young man have been dealing with now? And that's why he should shut it down and not come back and play, because if he does suffer a torn ACL, he's risking all of this. And I would always just stop them and say, what is he risking? What is he risking? Because when you risk something, like by definition, it means you are putting yourself in a position where if something bad happens, it can cost you dearly. And the point I always made is if Zion Williamson tore his ACL, he'd still be the number one pick in the draft. So what is he risking by playing? He's only enhancing his marketability by being the biggest star in college basketball on the biggest stage college basketball provides. That's the stage that Duke provides and ESPN provides and CBS provides through the NCAA tournament. And so I think to circle it back to Garland, it was relatively speaking a minor knee injury, but I do think he benefited from, I think he played five games, and in those five games he was terrific. And then it was just like, hey, what we saw was nothing but great. And the rest of these guys played 35 games, and you pick them apart a little bit. I don't want to pretend like he went from a projected 28th pick to, you know, a top 10 pick. He was probably always going to be, you know, a lottery pick. But I don't think you could find a mock draft that had him going as high as he actually went before he actually played a game. And so I think he benefited from a few things. One, when he played, he was terrific. Two, the position he plays is a position of priority now in the NBA. And three, he's got tremendous handles and he can really shoot it. And I know this sounds weird, but it's true. Shooting has never been more valuable in the NBA than it is right now. And he can really, really shoot it.
Talking with Gary Parrish of the Gary Parrish Show here on the Jeff Calkins Show. Jeffrey sitting in for Jeff. And then last question on this, on the Bahamas trip, who do you think stands to gain the most on this trip? Like, who has the best opportunity? Because as you and I have, we've discussed, like, this trip's more of a team building thing than perhaps anything else. And to try and make too much from a basketball perspective out of it would be disingenuous. But, you know, there's some guys, there's some opportunities, some guy with some guys sitting out. Who do you think stands to gain the most?
Well, I think obviously what most people are excited about is the freshmen, because we've never seen them in Memphis uniforms, whether that's Boogie Ellis or Damian Ba or DJ Jeffries. You know, those are the guys that have gotten almost all of the offseason attention, and rightfully so. I mean, I think Alex Lomax last week when we were talking to him said they're the number one recruiting class in America. They should be getting all of the attention. You know, and we want them here. They're going to make us better. But I think it would be encouraging if you – and keep in mind, our eyeballs aren't going to be on these games. So all we're going to be doing is looking at box scores and trusting people who are in the gym who you know, whose opinions we value. But if, you know, Penny or, you know, Drew Hill or anybody who's in the gym, you know, after these four games comes back and says, man, Alex Lomax looks like a different player, don't just bury him on the bench yet, because he's going to be super duper useful. That's what it looked like in the Bahamas. Or, man, Tyler Harris looks like a different player. Like, he's really making shots at a higher rate. He's reined it in a little bit. Seems to really understand what the coaching staff wants from him. I think if you heard positive things about the non-freshmen, it would suggest that maybe they are going to be, you know, important players on this team, because I think Memphis is going to win a whole bunch of games no matter what, assuming they're healthy, just because they've got better players than at every position than almost everybody in their league. But the truth is, and I've documented this stuff for years. It's hard to win consistently when you are relying on almost nothing but freshmen. You know, the Kentucky can do it, Duke can do it, but the best Mike Krzyzewski teams, they have a nice roster balance. You know, they have elite level one and done freshmen, but also non freshmen who play, you know, big roles. You go back to 2015. Duke, the national championship team, yes, they had three freshman starters, but they had two non-freshman starters, including senior Quinn Cook. You go back to 2012, Kentucky, John Calipari's national championship team, yes, they had three freshman starters, but they also had Darius Miller, Deron Lamb. You know, they, three of the top six scorers were not freshmen. And so if I were a Memphis fan, what I would want to hear is that Tyler Harris looks like he's going to be an important rotation player. Alex Lomax looks like he's going to be an important rotation player. And not because it looks like Boogie Ellis isn't, or it looks like Damian Ba isn't, but because they have taken a step from their freshman to sophomore season that's pretty easy to identify.
And then, of course, the other big news of the day yesterday from the NCAA, they have now decided that you do not need a bachelor's degree to represent a player that wants to test the draft waters. What did we actually accomplish now that we are here?
It just exposed the Commission on College Basketball once again as a group of people who are independently brilliant and successful and all of those things, but they simply do not know enough about the inner workings of college basketball to actually be making recommendations to the NCAA that the NCAA then rubber stamps. For people who are unfamiliar, in response to the FBI investigation, the NCAA assembled the Commission on College Basketball, headed by former Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice and a bunch of other distinguished and, again, smart, intelligent, educated, successful people. And they basically said, you guys figure out what we need to do. You tell us what to do, then we'll do it. And the problem, of course, is that the commission is basically filled with people who have no ties to grassroots basketball, who haven't been around this sport and the inner workings of the sport ever. And if they have been, it was a long time ago. And so they're fundamentally ill-equipped to do what it is they've been asked to do. As I said yesterday on my show, like, I think I'm, you know, I'm educated. I think I'm fairly intelligent. Like, I think I'm pretty good at problem solving and thinking things through, But if you said, hey, Gary Parrish is a bright guy, let's put him on a committee and ask him to go clean up amateur hockey. I can't do that. I don't know anything about amateur hockey. Like, I'm not equipped. I know as much about amateur hockey as Condoleezza Rice knows about grassroots basketball. That's my point. And so what they should have done is gotten a commission on college basketball featuring grassroots coaches, recruiting analysts, not necessarily me, but people like me who have been around the sport consistently at every level for two decades now. Because we might not have solutions to every problem. I think most of these problems are unsolvable until you give up on the idea of amateurism. But we at least understand what the issues are and perhaps, you know, wouldn't think that moving the recruiting calendar in ways that they did would solve anything. They made recommendations there. The recommendations were flawed at their core, quickly identified as such, and yet they still went through with them. And then every coach in the country was bitching about the recruiting calendar this past summer. And this, with the agent certification process, is just another example. When the NCAA announced it last week, they said it comes with the recommendation from the Commission on College Basketball. And I said, well, that's your problem, because the recommendations they've been giving you don't make any sense. And the backlash on this was so vast and so intense, thanks, honestly, to LeBron James bringing attention to it. Without that, it's just a little story me and people like me are talking about. When LeBron tweeted about it, put Rich Paul's names on it, then it became a big national, you know, A1 story. And the NCAA really had no choice but to back off, because people identified it as, A, just fundamentally wrong, but, B, a rule that seemed to have racial overtones as well. And, you know, my recommendation to the NCAA would be stop taking recommendations from the Commission on College Basketball. I believe that your intentions were good when you formed it. I believe their intentions are good when they recommend things. But they, and I say this as respectfully as I can say it, they do not know what they're doing. And this latest recommendation they made that the NCAA had to walk back less than a week later is undeniable evidence.
And then yesterday, of course, the NBA releases their schedule, the Grizzlies. It's kind of a fascinating spot because, unlike the last, you know, last few years, really honestly the last decade, you start going through the schedule and start looking to see, you know, if this team's going to be a playoff team, what are going to be the difficult spots, where are they going to, you know, you start looking at the mechanics of the schedule, if you will, and start counting W's and L's. Whereas this year, it just felt like you were just looking, all right, when's LeBron coming to town? When are the Clippers coming to town? It felt like old times, Garrett. It felt like when the Grizzlies first came to town. I wanted to ask you, this way. If the Grizzlies don't have Ja Morant, would we be feeling the same way?
No. I think not winning the lottery, but moving up to number two in the draft, thanks to getting lucky in the lottery, it really was a franchise-changing thing. Because, you know, at its best, it's going to give you a franchise point guard for the next decade. At its worst, it still provides hope. You know, like maybe John Morant just turns into another guy, like a lot of number two picks in drafts do. But right now, you can reasonably believe that that's not going to be the case. And so you've got two of the best, again, at least in theory, two of the best teenage basketball players in the world on your team. And that's not going to help you much this season. As you pointed out when you were talking to Jeff earlier, projected win total or the over-under number is like 26.5. They're not going to be good, but they got a chance. They got building blocks that suggest they will be good again someday, hopefully sooner rather than later. But you're exactly right when, you know, the schedule is released. The way we would talk about it, even as recently as last year, when people were still hopeful they could go to the playoffs, even if almost nobody projected them to be in the playoffs, you'd say, okay, they open up, and I don't remember last year's schedule, but you would talk about it in this way. All right.
They opened up at Indiana. Remember, they got curb stomped because Indiana, right. like they hadn't had, they'd only had like one preseason game, so they were all jacked up, and then it was just a buzzsaw night one.
Right. But like my larger point is like you would go, okay, six of the first 10 are at home.
Right.
And then you've got a three-game road trip, but they're all against teams that are projected to miss the playoffs. So you could get off to a nice start, But the problem is then you have to close with, you know, Golden State.
Right.
Whatever. You'd sort of play out the schedule and look at the what is presumed to be the easy parts and what is presumed to be the hard parts. And yet when the schedule comes out yesterday, you don't look at it that way at all because, like, they're all going to be hard parts. You know, you're not going to, you know, spend the last month of the season trying to make a game up on Portland to get the 4 seed in the West or make a game up on Sacramento to try to get the 8 seed in the West. You know, that none of that's going to be in play. So, yeah, you the first things you look at is when does Mike Conley come back? When does Marc Gasol come back? When is Zion here? Who are you playing on MLK Day? When's LeBron going to be here? When's Steph going to be here? When's Kawhi going to be here? And it really does, I think that, like, this is going to be a season where you're not focused on wins and losses. You're focused on the development of your two young building blocks and on the superstars who are coming into FedEx Forum as visitors.
Then I'll close with you here. When you mention that, like, to me, I think we all know the success of the season is you want Jaren to take the quote-unquote proverbial next step. You want him to look like he can be the superstar that he certainly has the capability of being, and then you want to see all the flashes and what you want to see from Ja Morant. Is there any equation for a successful season next year that doesn't involve essentially some form of those two things happening? Jaren Jackson looking like he is exactly what you're trying to build around, and Ja Morant looking like he at least has the ability to be the point guard of the future.
Well, those are the two main things, obviously. I think Brandon Clark looking like an actual steal in the 2019 NBA draft. Like, oh, my God, this guy should have been a top 10 pick. This guy's one of the 5 best players from the draft. Whatever. Like, if you can look up in February and say things like that, that's obviously great. And then, honestly, if you look up and go, just like when Brad Stevens was in his first year with the Celtics, they lost a lot, but Brad looked the part.
Yeah.
You know, you want Taylor Jenkins to look the part. He's going to lose a lot, but does he seem to have control of the locker room? Does he seem to be comfortable, you know, as the head coach in game situation? You know, if you told me on exit interview day at the end of the season, we were all sitting around talking and going, man, Jaren Jackson Jr., I think next year he's got a chance to be a Western Conference All-Star. And Ja Morant, oh boy, he wasn't Rookie of the Year because that was Zion, but he was clearly the second-best rookie in the NBA, clearly the right pick at number 2. And Brandon Clark, like, that guy looks like he's going to be a starter in this league for a long time. And Taylor Jenkins, man, did he really look comfortable as the season progressed, even if the losses were piling up. If we're having those conversations, that's a win across the board.
GP, we appreciate it.
All right, brother. I'll see you. Bye.
That is Gary Parrish of The Gary Parrish Show. The Consumer's Guide to the 2019-2020 Grizzlies home schedule is available over at The Daily Memphian. Chris Harrington, the author of that heroic work, joins us next right here in studio on The Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
As a small business owner, when was the last time you considered switching internet providers?
I don't even remember. Running a business keeps me pretty busy.
Let's compare your current provider to Comcast Business. Are you getting fast, reliable internet?
Sometimes.
How about a full suite of innovative services like separate Wi-Fi networks, 4G wireless backup, and advanced voice solutions?
I highly doubt it.
Sounds like Comcast Business could give you more. Make the switch to the nation's largest gig speed network now and get an amazing deal. Right now, get fast 75 megabit internet for $49.95 per month for 2 years when you add 2 voice mobility lines and sign up for paperless billing and auto pay. Call 1-800-501-6000 today. Comcast Business. Beyond fast.
Monthly service charge increases by $10 without paperless billing and auto pay. Offer ends 8/21/19. Restrictions apply. New business customers only. 2-year agreement required. Early termination fee applies. Equipment taxes and fees extra subject to change. Backup limited to up to 8 hours.
If you own a commercial building with a flat or metal roof and you think it needs replacing, don't do it. Call Joe Stalnaker at 901 Waterproofing and Roof Coatings. Restoring your existing roof with a quality coating system can save you up to 70% over conventional systems. All 901 roof coating systems save you thousands of dollars in yearly energy costs and come with 5 to 15 year leak-free warranties. Call 901 Roof Coatings at 287-1923 and give your old roof a new life. And now save even more with the manufacturer's new green energy rebate program.
At home or far from home, heroes feed their hunger with the extra large two-topping superhero pizza. 10 massive slices and two toppings of your choice. Delivered in a special Spider-Man Far From Home collectible box. All for the blockbuster price of just $12. It's a deal of epic proportions and is only available at Papa John's. See Spider-Man Far From Home. Better ingredients, better pizza, Papa John's. Rated PG-13 at participating U.S. stores. Taxes and delivery fee extra.
Life is all about perfect pairings. Sweet and salty, naughty and nice, hot and cold. Well, add Instant and Jackpot to the list because that's what you'll get when you add Quick Cash to your next Tennessee Cash play. Quick Cash is a simple way to turn one game into two. With Quick Cash, you'll have a chance to win up to $500 instantly right there at the register. Plus, you'll still have a chance to win the Tennessee Cash drawing later. Get the best of both worlds and get twice the fun. It's Quick Cash with Tennessee Cash, only from the Tennessee Lottery. Game-changing fun. Please play responsibly.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.